This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Thursday, 7th of October, 2021. And looking at the market action, you'd think all was clear. We've got a number of things that have suddenly been resolved for the very short term, at least, that were pressuring the market formerly. We'll get to that in a moment. Just a reminder very quickly at the top of the program, once again, our Q4 quarterly outlook is out. You can find it on analysis.saxo. And you can, of course, see our webinar tomorrow we talked about. We'll have that for you at 1 o'clock CET, so in the afternoon here in Europe. You can sign up for that on webinars.saxo. We'll be going through a number of slides on our outlook, and of course you can ask questions there with an interactive webinar. Okay, let's get back to the market action as indicated. So some of the immediate things that have been sort of dogging market confidence have suddenly reversed. So at least if we look at natural gas prices in Europe, although we've only taken prices back to where they were perhaps 2 days ago, mid-range of 2 days ago, the direction change quite obvious from yesterday's even more massively aggravated spike higher. As no secret, Vladimir Putin out talking about that Russia is ready to balance these the world's energy prices and natural gas prices specifically. A small string attached there, Mr. Ole Hansen, the Nord Stream 2 was mentioned in that statement as well. What's your perspective here on that and the state of affairs after the yesterday's price action?
Well, first of all, that we are dealing with a market where volatility is obviously extreme, where the fear is quite elevated, and where news items obviously has an oversized impact. And you are absolutely right, John. Yesterday was just another day for the history books. We surged almost to 160 euros per megawatt. Just remember that the 5-year average for this thing is 16 euros. So that was a tenfold increase over the 5-year average. Completely unsustainable. And late in the day, the market dropped by a third, as you mentioned. We had Novak and Putin trolling the headlines, the wires with a lot of comments. I suppose, first of all, trying to push the blame away from the headlines, where away from themselves, saying this is part of the global economic recovery. Also, that Russia stands ready to help balance the market. But as you said, once again, the certification of the Nord Stream 2 may cool off gas prices was a comment from Novak. So once again, we just gets this Nord Stream approval brought into this, and it just removed the focus that potentially some of this rally has been orchestrated to force this approval. So we're seeing prices drifting again today. Currently, we're down 12.5%. We're trading at 90 euros. So obviously, some normalization continuing there, but we really need to see those flows pick up, because there's a lot of stress in the European grid system as we speak. Peter and I spoke to a trader yesterday, and it's clear to see that the risk of this not being over yet is quite high. And but as you said, John, it did reduce the panic in the market, and that also spread to the oil markets, where we saw some weakness. That weakness has continued today. Remember that the spike we had in oil price over the last week has really been primarily driven by this potential gas to oil switch. As gas price becomes too expensive, consumers switch to diesel, propane, and gas oil, and that would that potentially could lift demand for oil. So that is also just drifting, removing, or that risk has been somewhat just removed, or not removed, but at least reduced for now. And then just fine as well, natural gas in the US up to a 12-year high on Tuesday, down 10% yesterday. So I think, as I said, the only thing that we are assured is continued volatility and drama.
All right. And then sort of adding to the string of things that was improving market confidence, we even had the strategic reserves brought up in at least one article. The U.S. strategic reserves, the potential to open those up to bring down oil prices. Biden and Xi expected to meet virtually before the end of the year. The Hang Seng having a strong session. They'll talk about that in a second, Peter. And then this debt ceiling issue. It looks like the Senate Republicans, some would say they blinked in terms of potential to raise the debt ceiling through December, or at least into December, so that this issue is not an immediate risk of default or emergency measures to avoid a default within a couple of weeks, but we kick the can out till December. I would argue that it's a gambit to make the Democrats look bad by them having to do the whole process themselves via reconciliation, which they're still refusing to do. And anyway, this is just a temporary relief. We still don't know what's going to happen with this situation. And then technically, so we broke the local little resistance here. You can see on slide 3, the S&P 500. The next small level would be, I would argue, the 21-day moving average and that 61.8% retracement of this latest sell-off wave. Coming in there, you see it are just below 4,400, so 4,391, at least on the December future. Peter, what's your takeaway? What's driving things in your view? What are you seeing in this market as we're trying to bounce here?
Well, there were several events yesterday. You mentioned a lot of them. There were also the strong ADP numbers as we head into the non-farm payroll release tomorrow. And it was just, we just bounced back in equities and all of these news. And we're retreating somewhat again in energy prices in Europe this morning. So we're seeing a follow through, seeing, as you also show on slide 3 with the S&P 500 futures there, we've taken out some of the recent highs. So it's a pretty firm breakout. And we also had news out from China, which is as you can see on slide 4, is bouncing back pretty heavily. The Hang Seng Tech Index is up almost 5% from the intraday lows yesterday. And one of the news that have come out from China is that China Estates, which has been one of these real estate developers that have been sucked down by Evergrande. Evergrande is a beggar of China Estates, but the Lau family owns 75% of this company. It has been suspended for trading just like Evergrande for almost a week. And suddenly today the news broke that the Lau family is going to take this company private to sort out its debt. I think it could be the playbook that they play in China, because I mean it would fit perfectly, right? Instead of having these public markets where you constantly have this negative news coming out, why not just take it private? Then you can sort of control the narrative much better. But I think in given everything that is happening in China, with also the focus on the V structure, which is the security loophole that have enabled Chinese companies to make these special entities and do ADRs in the US, I think it's quite telling that it's the founder of China's Estates Group, it's his wife's company, which is incorporated in the British Virgin Islands, that is making this offer to take the company private. I mean, if you think about what is the policy objective of China and what's taking place, I mean, it couldn't be anything. It couldn't be more wrong than that, with the common prosperity and everything. Yeah. But it is what it is. There is news out this morning as well that an Evergrande linked bondholders are still waiting for payment. We had that Fantasia bond that defaulted, caused a lot of crying. So the China story is not going away anytime soon. So that's definitely something that I'm watching. And then this rebound have caused the VIX curve on slide 5 to move further into a contango. We were very, very close to turn on the switch and go into backwardation yesterday at the intraday lows. But all the news that you mentioned, John, flipped the market. We are now rallying short term here, and we have the VIX curve in contango. I put out a piece, you said provocatively, before we went on went live on the show, John, that now prices are even better if you want to hedge your downside risk. And that's absolutely right. I wrote a piece called What Are the Different Strategies to Hedge Your Portfolio, which you can find on analysis.sax. So I go through the different ways you can hedge and diversify your portfolio. Have a look at that.
Yeah, and just also worth mentioning, don't have a slide here, but take a look at a DAX chart. There was a big major support level that gave way in recent sessions, 200-day moving average. And that's been reversed, at least as of the price action this morning. So I think maybe the market's getting a sentiment boost in Europe on that as well. But let's also recall one of the markets that was pressuring risk sentiment, I think, originally, and that's U.S. Treasury yields, the 10-year, especially the long end of the curve coming higher. Put up a chart of that 10-year yield for the U.S. on slide 6. We did go to new highs yesterday, and those reversed back lower. I'm not sure why. We do have a better sentiment out there, and we had a strong ADP private payrolls number, as you mentioned. Will it stay sort of contained, this move? I think that's a key sort of a key needed coincident indicator if we are going to see an even further comeback in risk sentiment. I have a hard time seeing this extending all the way back to the highs in the equity market if these yields extend back higher towards those cycle highs from late March, early April. So that's a key coincident indicator here for the market. Those need to be under control, I think, for this risk sentiment comeback to have legs, if you will. Okay, and then the FX market, sort of garbled market action. We're seeing the very weak euro here. I was surprised didn't get a bit more relief on this natural gas story. We need to see how that rolls out. But look at the FX trend readings on slide 7. You can see those at the top on the FX board. So we have the weak euro, the Swedish krona sort of following that, the Norwegian krona and Canadian dollar doing their own thing on strong oil prices of late, though I guess that would be under some risk of a correction if oil prices dip considerably further. I think one of the more interesting ones yesterday and over the last few days has been sterling, where we've seen quite a comeback attempt from that big slide below major support in cable. So sterling versus the dollar, that 136 area, when it gave way, it really gave way with a bang. And we've seen a very considerable comeback in UK short rates. Boris Johnson out yesterday with his Tory conference speech, trying to have quite a rousing speech and touting their Build Back Better, which they copied from Biden, by the way, program and platform, as well as the leveling up. And we've seen UK rates, in fact, over the last time frame here in the last couple of days, it hit as high as 79 basis points for the 2-year yesterday, dropped back a little bit. And if you look at euro sterling, so we've seen euro sterling dropping towards this big 0.85 level, which is not quite the low of the cycle, but is a prominent line. 84.50 or so is the actual low. But just over the last month, the 2-year spread between Europe and the UK has dropped another 20 basis points and stands at almost minus 120 basis points, the 2-year yield spread. So certainly the pound getting all the support it can from relative central bank moves. The question is, of course, what the real rate situation does out in the future. But look at those two pairs, euro sterling and cable. It looks very, very pivotal here on whether sterling can post a comeback, a proper comeback, or if it's going to fade again. And then I guess you've sort of covered the news, Ola, on natural gas. Did you want to talk up the charts on slides eight and nine?
And not really. I think we've been through most of it. I think and just again just highlighting that the main engine behind these moves right now is clearly what's going on in Europe, but also what's going on in Asia, because we have to remember as well that the latest spike occurred after China's government issued this buy at whatever cost order for to energy companies last week. So that obviously will be something that market will continue to focus on. If I just should make one small comment on the metal market as we head towards the US job report tomorrow, just keep an eye on the 1765 today in gold. We're almost there at this moment in time. It's a downtrend from the September high, and it's also the 21-day moving average. Gold has really been struggling this past few days with no inflation angst showing up in the bond market. The stronger dollar has been a drag on the market. So just keep an eye on that. Potentially that could just attract some fresh momentum.
Yeah, and the appeal of gold relative to crypto assets has been quite interesting, because you've expressed a lot of almost disgust with the gold market because it feels a bit dead. But the crypto market, certainly not dead yesterday. A massive multi-$1,000 move in Bitcoin to new local highs for the cycle. And it's interesting to note that there is directional sympathy with risk assets. That sympathy and even the correlation seemed a bit tighter before. So yes, we have had a comeback in risk appetite. And that's certainly likely a support at the margin for crypto assets. But the fact that we're trading new highs here relative to where we were just a few weeks ago, compared to the stock market that's still well down within the range, is quite interesting. And of course, boosts sentiment around that. And Peter, you had one story about one of the market makers. I can't remember. It was the Citadel, and talking about what the potential is, at least in terms of market making from them, if the regulatory framework becomes clear. Could you repeat what you're talking about on our internal meeting on that front?
Yeah, there was an Economic Club interview with Kenneth Griffin, the founder of Citadel, which is the parent company of Citadel Securities, one of the biggest market makers in the US, and was part of the whole meme debacle with Robin Hood and everything that happened earlier the year, earlier this year. And he said in the interview that, you know, they would like to trade crypto, but the regulatory framework is just too uncertain. He said as soon as the US government tells you what the rules are and they are firm and you can trust them to be set in stone for the long term, they would be market makers in crypto. They would go all in on it. So Citadel Securities, their presence in that market would immediately, you know, create a ton of liquidity and pull institutional. And you can spin his comments any way you like. But essentially, I think between the lines, he's nodding a little bit to the U.S. government that, I mean, why not try? but let's see what happens with the crypto industry.
All right. Pretty thin earnings calendar I'm seeing here on slide 10. Anything you want to highlight there?
No. We're writing a preview for preview tomorrow. So that's my only advertisement. We'll look at what's going on in earnings and what to expect from the different sectors.
But it has to be one of the more interesting earnings seasons, I suppose, this Q3 round, which I guess it heats up pretty solidly next week, right?
Yeah, it heats up. So that's why we're writing the preview, and we'll talk about, you know, the margin squeeze and where it will probably be felt. So that's in store for tomorrow.
Okay, well, let's stay tuned for what's happening here across markets, if this is a dead cat bounce or if it's something more profound is underway here with this shift in sentiment on these various issues suddenly reversing, at least momentum-wise reversing here. Quite interesting backdrop. Macro calendar, not a whole lot to pull out. There's all kinds of ECB speakers out today. We have the jobless claims from the U.S. and we have the natural gas storage change in the U.S. That could be quite interesting. Obviously, we're still in build season ahead of the winter, and that's key for that to get more normalized relative to historical levels. RBA financial stability review out in Asia. China back online, at least mainland markets. We've seen the Hang Seng, of course, all week, but they're back online officially for in the mainland tonight. And then tomorrow, of course, the big kahuna for the week, risk event-wise, which is the U.S. September jobs report, and also the average hourly earnings, should these surprise considerably to the upside, I think that becomes more of an issue. We talked about the Goldman Sachs report talking about 6% annualized wage growth. We're not seeing a consistent pickup yet in the official series and the mix of official series out there. The evidence is a bit mixed, so we need to see that as an interesting input before we can argue that it's in the official data as well. Stay careful out there, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email marketcall@saxobank.com.